racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
Well, it's here, the Open Championship, the 148th Open Championship, and we are excited. Hi, I'm Bob Bubka, here with Jay Randolph Jr., and you're listening to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. Jay, it's everything that you and I have talked about leading up to this week, and probably, to be perfectly candid, it's even more than that.
There are four times a year lately where I get really envious of Bob Bubka and Janice, Self, our executive producer. But this week, more so because of my love for Ireland. I think this is going to be an unbelievable championship. Just talking to you, Bob, before we started the show, you saying it was more than you even thought it was going to be. Before we get into some discussion about this championship, give our listeners kind of a feel of what the first couple of days is like. How different is it from the normal Open Championship at a St. Andrews or a Carnoustie or a Royal Birkdale? What is this like in Northern Ireland?
Well, great question, Jay. And, you know, St. Andrews speaks for itself. And all the open golf courses in the Rota kind of speak for themselves. What's different here is the overwhelming, spectacular view from the village. I mean, it looks like a storybook village. It looks like a Hollywood movie. It's really bordering on surreal. It is pretty. And to, I think to sum it up, Jay, listen to this. Just seconds ago, Graham McDowell was asked, "Well, Graham, it's your hometown. Tell us how you feel." He says, "I'll say this much. I got on the tee Tuesday for a practice round. I was so nervous, I didn't know whether I could hit the golf ball." Can you believe that? A U.S. Open champion on a practice round is so thrilled that this is back to Northern Ireland that he almost couldn't take a swing.
You know, when you look back on the history of the game, and you and I love doing it, there were no Americans that even played in the 1951 Open Championship. A gentleman from England, Max Faulkner, won it at 3 under par. Tony Cerda from Argentina was second. I mean, Bobby Locke at an elder age, he was tied for fourth. So, you know, this is a totally different scenario. The game is obviously in a different place, and it's great that they're going to Royal Port Rush, and I just can't wait for them to start teeing off, start to see how the golf course is going to play, how difficult will it be, will some of those guys that have connections to Port Rush or clearly to Ireland, like a Rory McIlroy or a GMAC or some of the others, how are they going to perform, how are the U.S. guys going to do? I can't wait for this thing to get rolling.
Here's some numbers that are really going to surprise you, Jay Randolph Jr. The most people ever to watch an Open Championship was at St. Andrews the year 2000. They had 237,000 spectators. What's going to be here this week? 237,750. The most spectators ever for an Open Championship is going to be right here at Royal Port Rush. And how about this? 30,000 fans are under the age of 25. 21,000 are under the age of 16. You talk about getting them started early in golf here in Northern Ireland. They certainly are doing that.
Well, and Bob, the difference here is that everything is pre-sold. What amazed me when I went to the British Open in 2000 was the fact that you could just walk up. You could come from a town outside of St. Andrews, park your car, drive up, pay your ticket that Sunday for the final round when they had 100,000 there in 2000 to see Tiger win the Grand Slam. I mean, but this is different. They've got a camping village where 6,300 fans are being housed. This is a different animal than we've seen. How do you think, I mean, I'm sure the crowds are embracing everything right now. How do you think their behavior will be as we progress through the week?
Well, I think they're going to be extremely polite. They'll certainly appreciate good golf. They love the greatest quote about Port Rush that I've run across in the few days that we've been here in preparation, Jay. I said, what about the fans? How are they going to enjoy the Open Championship? And I was told by more than one individual the following. Bob, are you kidding me? Fans here in Port Rush will go out to that golf course and watch the grass grow. That's how excited they are about golf at Royal Port Rush.
Well, I think, it's going to be the culmination of four interesting majors this year, obviously, starting with Tiger, then seeing what Brooks was able to do, the incredible performance, especially the final day of Gary Woodland, and now history to be made at Northern Ireland. What kind of scores are you expecting, Bob? You've been there. You've seen the golf course. What are you expecting, or how tough are you expecting Port Rush to play? And I know a lot of that deals with what the conditions are going
to
be.
Yeah, you're right about that, Jay. I mean, that's what makes it extremely difficult here to try and pinpoint the winning score. I mean, if we don't get wind, it might be 18 under par. If we get a moderate wind, it may be 10 under par. If we get true Port Rush wind, somewhere around level par, liable to walk away with the championship. That's a wide open thing, and it's just unbelievable. There's a great sign, Mr. Randolph, in the middle of Port Rush, and it says, "Welcome, Rory McIlroy. Welcome, Darren Clark. Welcome, Graham McDowell. And welcome, Ricky." I'm saying, wait a minute. That's three players and a caddy. Ricky, Brooks Koepka's caddy, has his name up on that big billboard welcoming him to the Open Championship. I mean, I've never seen anything like it in my life. I mean, three major champions and a caddy up on the billboard.
All right, Bob, you're very good at especially the British Open, in terms of finding a player that you think may have a good week this week. We're going to talk about a number of the top contenders, but I'm curious if there's somebody that's jumped out at you that maybe you're tracking this week to have a big chance.
And you're going to chuckle, and everybody else is going to chuckle, but I like Kevin Kisner for this golf course. This is not a bomber's paradise. You have to be very precise. He is very precise. You have to be a good putter. Kevin Kisner is a good putter. And his caddy has sufficient weight that he's not going to get blown off the golf course by the wind. So he's got a big edge there.
I could see Kisner playing well. As we've talked about, he grew up on a historic golf course in the United States, the Great Palmetto Club. For some reason, and I'm not really sure, I just keep going to a guy like Matt Wallace, who really burst on the scene last year at the age of 28 with three victories. He played in his first Open Championship last year. Now he's a guy that's a little under the radar. Maybe he shouldn't be, but with so many big names in the field and so many big names that have played the last couple of years. And I guess we'll start with Koepka. What do you expect from Koepka as he's contended, obviously, in the first three majors and won four of the last nine?
Well, he's very comfortable here. The best thing that tells me that he has learned a lot about this golf course from his caddy, Ricky, who actually grew up here. So he knows everything about it. But how about this, which Tiger shared with us? He said, a week ago, I send a text message to Brooks Koepka. It simply said, "Hey, dude, I'd love to set up a practice round with you." So we then wait. Well, what did Brooks say, Tiger? Tiger says he never answered the text.
Well, he did answer the question about shot making at Port Rush. Let's hear from Brooks Koepka.
Using your imagination, that's what I enjoy. That's what makes it so much fun to play. And, you know, you figure out a strategy, and luckily my caddy has played this golf course I can't tell you how many times. So that's a big advantage. It's nice to have him on the bag this week, and hopefully have a good week.
Well, he's certainly comfortable. Ricky Elliott is on his bag. Brooks Koepka, very comfortable. There's a famous attraction, Jay, just a few miles from here. It's called the Giant Causeway. And Rupert Bell, who you know we do work with, and Janice Self, Rupert convinces us we got to go see this Giant Causeway. So we get near it, and there's a very, very delightful hotel right at the top. And I jump out and I say to the waitress, how long you been here? She said, 25 years. I said, I got a friend that wants me to go see the Giant Causeway. Should I do that? She said, do you like rocks? I said, no, I don't. She said, why don't you stay here and send your friends? So I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden a gentleman slides in, sits down alongside of me, and I say to myself, golly, that guy looks just like Sam Torrance. And I'm sitting there, and then all of a sudden Sam says something. I said, man, he sounds like Sam Torrance. Finally, I said, Sam? He said, hey, Bob, how you doing? I ended up having a delightful time with Sam Torrance, and then who joined us with Jennifer Palmer, Ryan Palmer's wife, and then Ryan came. So I didn't see the rocks, but, boy, I had a good time.
I think you made the wise choice. You usually do. We mentioned the U.S. Open champion, Gary Woodland. You know, obviously, when he's right, any golf course fits his style because he can pound it long. And I don't know that this is necessarily the venue that best suits him. But let's hear from the reigning U.S. Open champion, Gary Woodland.
The rough is brutal. I mean, it's lush. So, I mean, that's usually, you know, last year it was so burned out. You could hit driver and there wasn't much thought. You were just going to play aggressive and hit it. There's a lot more thought going in this year because if you do miss it offline, I mean, it's if you find the ball, it's chip out sideways. So I think there'll be a little bit more conservative approach for most of the players.
Well, Gary Woodland certainly qualified amount of talent. You know, he qualifies in the talent department to get, you know, another to, you know, win back-to-back major championships. But I'm going to save Jay Randolph Jr. from Jay Randolph Jr. himself because I'm going to say something that you're going to be disappointed that you haven't been on that band box and proclaiming to the world. Don't be surprised if John Rahm, who won 2 weeks ago at La Hinch, doesn't win again here. He's in fine form. He loves Ireland. He's won two Irish Opens already. And you've been talking about him for a long time, Jay Randolph Jr. He is certainly, I think, going to be a huge part of the story, which will unfold this week.
He is at that point, Bob. He's done it all except hoist a major championship. Now, we forget he's still young, but we also know how it starts to add up on players, like it did with David Duval, like it did with Sergio. And when you have great expectations, because of your performance like you had at the Scottish Open, you're going to have a lot of people putting down wagers on you at Ladbrokes and other places. I think he's got a great opportunity. There's no doubt. I think a lot of guys have a good opportunity. One guy I'm not sure about, Bob, is Tiger Woods. I know he played a couple of rounds over the weekend, is going to his nine-hole routine. What do you or what have you been able to discern so far this week as it relates to Tiger? Any indication?
Well, Jay, you know, to be candid, in seeing Tiger yesterday, I came away with a feeling that here's a guy fully content now with his major record, 15, winning that Masters again. I think if we were able to crawl deep down into Tiger's brain, and ask him, you know, would you be comfortable if you never win another major? I think the answer from Tiger would be yes. I'm not so sure he wants to put in the effort that he knows it takes, especially nowadays with the wealth of talent that is out there. I mean, it's getting harder and harder, obviously, to win a major championship. But Tiger, hey, he's full of surprises. He didn't show up here today. He's practicing somewhere. Somebody had him even practicing at Carnoustie. I don't know if that's true or not. I got that from Grand Storm, a former European Tour player who's doing some radio here this week. But how about this one? Here's a little nugget for you, Jay Randolph Jr. In 1952, they held the Open here at Royal Port Rush. Max Faulkner won the Open Championship. What was unusual about Max Faulkner? All of his irons, all of his clubs were the same length. Now it's Bryson DeChambeau. All of his clubs are the same length. I can't even imagine if Bryson goes on to win, how the heck could we go 68 years between Open winners, both using clubs of the same length?
Yeah, that would be a wild scenario, and I think as we wrap up this segment, Bob, the most wild scenario for everybody would be Rory McIlroy. I mean, that's since this championship was announced. I mean, you're talking about, if not, you know, with what Koepka's done here recently, you can say either one or two the last 4 or 5 years, the future of the game. But this would be so meaningful to Rory.
Well, I made this statement and I had found nobody that disagrees, Jay. Rory McIlroy could win Sunday and never play another round of competitive golf. He would still enjoy the remainder of his life and be a very happy man. That's the magnitude of what's at stake here for Rory McIlroy. I mean, it's just incredible. Same for, you know, Darren Clark, obviously a long outside shot. He tees off. He's going to hit the first tee ball, and it's at 6:35 in the morning. And I don't have to think too far back when Darren Clark would be getting in at 6:35 in the morning. But this time he's going to be teeing off. Quite an honor. Of course, the stakes are high, as we talked already in the grill room about Graham McDowell. Can we get a Tiger surprise? I don't know. You know, they've had an unbelievable cricket match, which I don't know anything about, but they said it was a 1-in-100-year situation. And then they had that unbelievable tennis, Federer against Djokovic. And I think the only way we can compete, we need Rory McIlroy, Tiger Woods, last twosome on Sunday.
Well, let's hear from Rory. Is this the same golf course he remembers back in the day?
I've played well here before. I know what I'm doing around here. I mean, I sort of was worried. I got here last Saturday thinking, you know, the course is going to change. The setup for an Open might be different. And I got here and it's like still the same place. I mean, you know, there's no difference. It's just it's the same golf course. So I was sort of, I think I was making it a little bit bigger in my head than it needed to be. And, you know, I've played this place enough times to know where to miss it, where not to miss it, you know, where the good leaves are. And, you know, no matter if there's grandstands around or if there's not, or if there's a lot of people or if they're not, it's the same golf course.
All right, Bob, we talked a little bit earlier about some of the guys we thought that might play well. You like Kevin Kisner. I mentioned Matt Wallace. Who do you think is going to hoist the claret jug on Sunday?
Well, setting emotion aside, I really like Brooks Koepka. I like his attitude this week. I like his demeanor. And, of course, we already talked about his caddy, Ricky Elliott, being on the bag, a local hero in his own right.
Well, I'm going to take a flyer. He's kind of been off. I mean, you say he's been off the radar, but I just think, you know, it's time for him to get another major, and that's Dustin Johnson. We'll see. Bob, it's going to be a great week. I'll let you wrap things up. I wish I was with you and Janice. I think it's going to be a historic championship at Port Rush.
Well, you certainly missed, my friend. You certainly missed. Time now to take a short break, and then our coverage of the 148th Open Championship preview will continue. A couple of special guests coming up, Georgie Bingham and Rupert Bell.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. And let's continue our preview of the Open Championship from Royal Port Rush. Two special guests joining me right now. Georgie Bingham, host of Weekend Breakfast Show for Talk Sport and a real golf nut. And also joining us, just a nut, not a golf nut, Rupert Bell, Talk Sport correspondent. He covers golf, horse racing, and tennis. And it's a pleasure, guys, to have you here. I know I'm feeling the excitement. Begin with Georgie. I know how much you love golf. The excitement of Northern Ireland, the myriad of prospects that lay in front of us. What are your thoughts as we approach this Open Championship?
Well, first of all, there's so many people here for the two practice days. It feels like a Thursday or a Sunday already. But also the appetite for golf in Northern Ireland is extraordinary, helped very much by Northern Ireland's three most famous sons winning majors in 2011, 12, 2010. But the appetite for it is just huge. And this course is spectacular. If you have the chance to go up on the hill and look at Royal Port Rush from a mile away, it's just something very, very special. And everyone's properly overexcited.
Yeah, you know, you bring up a great point. I was just on a different show, and I was asked, what makes this golf course so special? And I said exactly what you said. I said, the scenery surrounding this place is absolutely incredible. Let's get Rupert Bell in here. Rupert, great work at Ascot. You did the tennis. What's the excitement level for you doing an Open Championship again?
Well, more significantly, doing it in Northern Ireland. I think I'm most excited about that aspect of it. I haven't been in Ireland since 38 years, and this Northern Ireland has transformed and changed dramatically, both politically and just the whole country has changed. And to see the culmination of so many people's efforts to get it here and the sense of excitement. I mean, I knew we were coming to a fairly beautiful part of the world as the Giant's Causeway, which I know you walked, Bob, because you wanted to experience one of the seven wonders of the world. And I know you enjoyed that. But the golf course, seeing it for the first time and then walking it, and as you talk about those breathtaking views from some of the tee positions,
yeah,
it's like no other open venue because of the sort of views it creates across the sea, you know, to Donegal, and you can see the Giant's Causeway. It is just a fantastic venue, and I hope it lives up to all the hype.
You know, George, yeah, I don't think we can stress enough the importance to people that live in Northern Ireland. I mean, even Rory McIlroy, until this was announced, and Graham McDowell, I mean, world-class golfers, but they knew that there wasn't going to be a championship on home ground because of political, you know, reasons. So the magnitude of this, other than what transpires on the golf course, truly is exceptional.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I think, I mean, even today, Rory McIlroy said in his press conference, he may never get the chance to play an Open Championship on home soil again, even though Port Rush is booked in for another couple, you know, for under its current agreement. But I don't think any of us who are over 30, really thought that we would see a major. I didn't think I'd see a major in Northern Ireland in my lifetime. And I think, you know, 1951 was the last time it was here. So it was that long ago. But it's a really... You only have to go out and talk to the crowds, and particularly the marshals and the stewards. Most are members of Roll Point Rush or local courses, and have all volunteered. You know, that most of them never thought they'd see it in their lifetime either.
Yeah, and I got to cover that one in 51. Luckily, I didn't have to use Rupert.
But can I just say, Rory was speaking at that press conference. How well did he speak?
I thought he
summed it up when he's talking about his parents. You know, he said, was it really like that? He watched a film and it sort of portrayed the Troubles back in 71. And he said to his parents, was it really like that? To which Mum and Dad said, yes, it was. But now he knows what sport has done and the country has been transformed and what it brings to the table. And it's significant from a sporting point of view, but from a Northern Irish perspective, it is huge. And the fact is, it's brought everyone together with one common purpose: to produce the biggest sporting occasion the island of Ireland has ever staged.
Yeah.
Of course, Rory McIlroy, Darren Clark, but I think somebody that basically wears his emotions on his sleeve is Graham McDowell, and this is what he had to say earlier today when addressing the media.
Must have walked past the photo of Fred Daly with a Clark jug in his hand about 10,000 times, and in my home club of Rathmore, just 500 yards down the road there. And, you know, obviously the growing up with the legend of 51 and kind of everything that happened at that Open, Max Faulkner, and, you know, to have kind of, you know, gone through the ranks and turned pro and, you know, started playing Open Championships myself, and... you know, to have played a small role, I guess, in kind of getting the gears in motion again to get the Open Championship back here. I mean, it's a proud moment to see it come together. I think you get more of an idea for the size and the infrastructure that goes with this tournament. It's so enormous when you see it happening in your hometown, and you see just how everyone. You know, how everyone benefits, you know, how the whole country, how the whole island's benefiting. You know, the infrastructure economically here in Portrush is just, I've never seen the town look so great. And, yeah, just the buzz from the people this week. It's been amazing the last few days. I expected a great welcome. I didn't really expect the buzz from the fans and just how genuinely happy and proud and excited they are to have this great golf tournament in this part of the world. It's I was on the first tee yesterday. Felt like there was about 10,000 people on the first tee. Amazing atmosphere. A little nervous for a Tuesday. I couldn't believe it, really. And figured I'm going to feel a little fired up tomorrow morning on the first tee. But it's been incredible. Like I say, I feel like people are just genuinely fired up and excited, and it's such a big thing for this part of the world.
I want to take advantage of Georgie Bingham and Rupert Bell joining us in the grill room with Bob and Jay. Yes, it's great for Northern Ireland. It's great for those players that grew up in this area. But I'm of strong conviction that this is also great for the RNA to bring an Open Championship to a new venue that they haven't been to since 1951.
Yeah, only the only venue that's been used outside Scotland and the British Isles. It is, and I think it's quite brave of them, actually. And the thing that facilitated in particular was that Portrush were very amenable to the changes that had to be made in order to host an Open Championship. The 17th and 18th holes weren't good enough for a major venue, and so they went and made the changes. But, yeah, I think the RNA, there's a couple of courses that have fallen off the roster, and I think it must be of number one importance to get back on that roster if you've fallen off it, even if you've only hosted it once back in 1951. I mean, you look at this. This is, I don't know what the final score will be on Sunday, and it'll be really fascinating to see what it is, whether, you know, this, how hard this course plays. But this is a course without question worthy of an Open Championship. It looks the part, and you talk to any player this week and they say it is the part.
I'm excited to see how they play. I mean, Rory was asked in his press conference, if a wind blows, a good round would be 67 you know, might be really sensational. If it doesn't, 63-64. So he's expecting it to be a traditional Lynx test. Well, what's the course record in the Open Championship? Is 63 still, isn't it? Or has it gone to 62? But whatever, it shows that this course will be a demanding test. And I think it will, because as Tiger and all players have alluded to, you've got to think your way. It's not a just grip it and rip it.
Definitely.
Of course, we can't continue without mentioning the name Tiger Woods. I just actually spoke to some of his people. He decided to stay home today in his house, not come out to the golf course. There was speculation in the media room that he even went as far away as Carnoustie to play, but that was just a rumor. Georgie, what do you how do you rate Tiger's chances?
Well, he had to defend, in his press conference yesterday, Tiger was defending his preservation of his body, because his body's not up to, you know, the demands of golf 7 days a week, 50 weeks a year. The thing that he said was, this is different to any open venue he's played at, because the ball can repel the green, was his words. But he also said, I don't have to be a big hitter to prevail here. I don't need the carry. I need to understand where the bunkers are, and I need to understand the greens, and I genuinely believe I can prevail. I'm not sure Tiger's had the playing time, to be honest, but we all know that a good tournament is one where Tiger does well, let's be honest, because he's just such an enormous draw. I mean, I interviewed Matt Wallace yesterday. Matt Wallace was so ecstatic when he heard that he's playing with Tiger Woods tomorrow. He said he swore his head off for like 10 minutes. He just couldn't help himself. He was just so overexcited, and that's what having Tiger at a tournament does.
I hope Matt remembers to bring his clubs tomorrow. Let's give a listen to what Tiger had to say.
I just think that this venue, it's just amazing. It's been this long that it's taken for us to come back here. It's such a great venue, and everyone who's played it, whether it's guys who grew up here or people who've come up here and just have played, they've always enjoyed it. They've always enjoyed playing this golf course, and I can understand why. It's it's straightforward. It's, you know, it is a tricky a little bit here and there, but overall, it's just a wonderful Lynx golf course.
A wonderful Lynx golf course. I mean, that has to be so well received by the members and people that play here when Tiger Woods refers to their golf course in such glowing terms.
He's a serious PR man, but it did seem to be. I think he enjoys the intellectual challenge of playing Lynx golf, and you can sense it there, his reaction, his thought, whereas some people have to evolve to like it. He's now got to a stage where he uses experience to get him round, and even if he is slightly undercooked, he will still, I think, be competitive. But he's out late. I worry about him making the cut, though.
I do,
particularly if the weather goes really bad.
I think it's interesting the superlatives that are being used by players, because we know before a tournament that not all players are happy. And the superlatives that we're hearing are, you know, Andrew Johnson, I spoke to him this morning, beef, and he only just made the tournament on Sunday night. And he said this is the best Lynx course he thinks he's ever played. And, I mean, he doesn't have to say that.
It's the second one I think he's played.
He doesn't have to say that. And I know he's an enthusiastic young guy, but, you know, really there are just so many superlatives being rolled out by players for this course.
I think they love the fact that they're coming to somewhere new as well. The whole experience feels different. The course feels different. Mm. The people feel different. The whole sort of occasion. And I think the players, you know, they can be, it's robotic on the golf tour. But this has given them, everyone is feeling the passion of the golf fans. And that's what true sport's all about, the fans. And here we have some of the best in the world when it comes to golf.
Sitting alongside Georgie Bingham and Rupert Bell, the thing that really impresses me, and we'll get to that when we come back, something that I didn't think I would see happen, but it is going to happen here this week at Royal Port Rush when we return to In the Grow Room.
Six Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. We're in the media center here at Royal Port Rush in Northern Ireland. And it was announced today that the attendance is going to be higher for this event than any other Open Championship in history. Georgie, when you hear a statement like that, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
Well, I mean, I think we understand the local appetite is huge, and you get an idea of how strong the local appetite is. These tickets sold faster than for any other Open Championship. And actually, the other thing they announced today was that the tickets for the next Open Championship, which is in Kent in England, are selling faster even than the tickets for Port Rush. But the appetite for golf in Northern Ireland is very similar to Scotland. You drive around the rural parts of Northern Ireland, there are courses everywhere. And some of them are wee little local courses, public courses, courses like this, Royal Port Rush. You know, there's a huge variation. But there is just golf everywhere. So it's the same as the area in Scotland. It's just that they've been starved of having an Open Championship for that long. So the locals are here in force.
50 years ago, Tony Jacklin won the Open. It was watched by 46,000 people during the week. And the following year, they went to St. Andrews, it was 80,000. Mm. But now, when you think, okay, that's 49 years ago, where we are now, the growth of this event, and it needed moments like Tony Jacklin, then the sort of Nicholas Watson era, and Ballester is now people, the Tiger effect. This is a must-go-to sporting occasion for, well, certainly British and Irish golf fans, but around here, the American voices, the global sport golf fan wants to be at an Open Championship, and that's why the numbers are where they are now, and will continue to be, because obviously next year at St. Andrews, not St. Andrews, St. George's, all the London crowd will be able to just descend on it. So they are looking at venues, and the attendance matters to the RNA. They want to feel the sport is growing in the public's eye.
And what the RNA have also done, Bob, is they have made a spectacular show of, you know, I know the range and the practice area are available to everyone, but the broadcaster, the British broadcaster Sky Sports here, they have a thing called Open Zone where players get to show off their skills and their trickery on television, and they have opened that area to the public so people can go and watch television being made. And they, some of the sponsors have areas where you can go and learn to chip, and you can putt out, you can try a pothole bunker, and you can go to putt, and you can go to an autograph
zone. Georgie.
And taste some whiskey. Rupert wants to go to the whiskey stall tomorrow.
Well, it's all part of the Open experience.
Oh, yes, okay.
I think it's the wine store.
The Malbec store.
Or the Malbec or the Loch Lomond official whiskey supplier.
All right, we've had enough fun here, guys. Time to get down to some serious business. We'll begin with Georgie Bingham first.
Okay.
Whose name is going to go on that claret jug Sunday night?
Do I have to pick one, or am I allowed to, like, two?
I'm going for three.
Oh, you're going for three. Okay. Yeah. So Brooks Koepka's caddy is a local boy from Port Rush. I reckon Koepka will do well this week. I would really love Matt Wallace to win. And my American outside chance would be Cantlay. I think he has been toodling along lovely on the tour, and I think he might be an underdog chance for a top five finish.
Gone out on a limb with a Koepka one, didn't you?
Koepka, yeah, I know. He's
Koepka.
The
I can't even say it.
Hey, I didn't say Rory. Rory is the favourite.
Okay, I'll give you that. I'm going to give you Stenson, playing well now.
Oh.
And I'm also going to give you a Rafa Cabrera.
We know what happens when you tip things, by the way.
We are. The British listeners know, and Georgie knows when she hosts the weekend sports breakfast, she asks me for a tip with trepidation. And Rafa Cabrera, and the American, is Xander Schauffele.
Oh, that's a very good pick. He did rather well last year.
Well, I can't argue against Brooks Koepka. He has demonstrated the ability, especially in majors. He's incredible. I think he has convinced himself of something that no golfer in history has ever convinced themselves of, and that's the fact that the majors are easier to win than a regular event. I mean, he's the only guy in the field that has that philosophy.
Yeah.
So it may work. If you want to go, you know, calmer and strange things, we go back to 1951 and Max Faulkner wins and all his clubs are the same length, the only player in the field.
Oh, God.
Oh, you good nugget, Bobby.
And Bryson DeChambeau will be playing here this week with all of his clubs the same length.
And almost as flamboyantly dressed as Max Faulkner as well.
Exactly. Good point, Georgie. Max had a flair. His father was a golf pro, Max's father. When he was in the Army, he did not get booted out like my co-host here, Rupert Bell. But Max was in a boxing competition and ended up being the champion at his base. So he not only could knock in putts, apparently he could knock out opponents. We're writing a Hollywood script, so why don't we leave our listeners with this? If we were writing the script, there's little doubt that the final twosome on Sunday would be announced as, on the tee, Rory McIlroy, and on the tee, Tiger Woods.
Is it being announced by a Dalek?
Where's Ivor? That was his attempt at Ivor Robson.
All right. On the tee, Rory McIlroy.
Much better.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
All right. Send Tiger
off. On the tee, Tiger Woods.
Well, it doesn't get any better than that. Thanks for being part of In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week.
Thanks for spending some time in the Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.